Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes out by email every Sunday. Now, we're now in our seventh year of the newsletter, and you can also find our blog there, which is not like any other blog you've ever seen. I'm sure you wouldn't expect anything less of me than that. You can subscribe to it, too. We'll send it to you Monday through Friday, or just come and get it. You can find it right there on the homepage. And all the other things that we do for you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful and make it available to you for free. Thanks to all of our great corporate partners. And we appreciate them, and we hope you do, too. Dr. Al Siebert is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the guy who's been teaching us about resiliency and this whole concept of being able to bounce back. Are you resilient? Can you bounce back physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually? Can you do all that sort of thing? Well, we're going to find out how good you are because Dr. Al is going to help us with that. Al, welcome back to the show.
Hello there.
It's good to have you back.
Well, good to talk with you again.
It's good to have you here, and I appreciate you spending some time with us. Al, I was saying before you got here that I was talking to the audience about this concept of knowing how important it is to know that you're resilient. Isn't it, you know, who was it? I forgot. I'm trying to think of who said this. Someone said, and I'll remember who it was in a minute. Someone said, to be happy is one thing. But to know that you're happy, that's another level of happiness. So my question to you is, to be resilient is one thing, but to know that you're resilient, isn't that like resiliency squared?
Yes, it is, and it works in two different ways. One is the having the self-confidence that based on my experience in the past with myself, I expect to handle this setback, this new challenge, well also. It also is a matter of self-concept of just the idea of I am a resilient person. So there's a mixture of it being both a self-concept and also having self-confidence that you will do it.
Where do we find that? It seems to me, Al, that part of that is putting yourself in a position to deal with adversity, to deal with challenges. Maybe not even adversity. Maybe just great opportunity that wears you out. But I do feel like in my own experience that once I live through those kinds of things and live to tell, you know, live to fight another day, that's an accumulation to me of my confidence, the confidence in my resiliency.
You're quite right, and that is that the self-confidence comes from handling each new thing as it comes along and handling it as well as you can. And even if you don't handle it really well this time, you process, you look at what went on, and you learn a good lesson so that next time something similar happens, you know that you'll handle it better, and you do.
I mentioned four different areas. I think there were four: physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Can we separate resiliency? I mean, those are my terms, and I know you talk about them to you know, maybe in a different way in your book. But what about those four areas? Is it important to partition our resiliency into different areas?
Well, you're quite right, and as a psychologist, I tend to take it to a very practical level in terms of I always look at a person's actions, feelings, and thoughts, and then the spirit that they bring to it. So what you're saying matches up very closely with how, if you read anything I've written about resiliency, you'll see that I always focus on the four areas.
Well, you know, I've got your book, so that must be where I got all that, right?
Well, I don't really elaborate on that. It's just that I know that for us to have a feeling about any human being, about how they really are interacting and what they're doing with what's going on, that I've got to describe their actions, mm-hmm. I have to describe their feelings, I have to describe their thoughts, and I describe the spirit that they have about what's going on.
Well, and the, I guess the reason that I'm focusing on this, Al, is because I believe that people can learn to be leaders. I believe people can learn to be a lot of things that maybe we don't feel that we are right now. Like resilient. If we break it down into those four areas, you know, maybe physically resiliency means that I get more sleep. Maybe it means that I exercise more. And I'm thinking of the others. You know, there are things we can do. Mental resiliency. Maybe that means I need to read more. I need to read more about a certain thing. Those are the kinds of things maybe I could do to actually increase my resiliency. What do you think?
Yes, read more is possibly it. I focus a little bit more on being curious. So if reading more is a function of being curious, that's
right.
Fine. See, the thing is that part of being resilient is you quickly understand, you comprehend, your brain grasps accurately the new reality that's mm-hmm. coming your way. And so the people who are most resilient are people in the habit of being curious. They ask questions. They want to know how things work. They have a brain habit of always bringing in new information and getting it right, it accurately.
So you're saying that, and I like that. I like that the way you use curiosity, because I've said for a long time that the highly successful people I know are the ones who are the most curious. And what you're saying is if I get some kind of a really serious challenge, maybe it's something almost dangerous to my business. If my attitude is, I wonder where that came from.
Yeah.
I'm going to find out where that came from.
Yeah.
And so instead of running away, we run toward it.
That, and also the other non-resilient response is to get highly emotional immediately, angry, upset, declaring wait, they can't do that, and become very emotional. So that impairs accurate understanding, and it impairs problem solving.
Right, right. Al, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Dr. Al Siebert is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of The Resiliency Advantage, and it's a book that I recommend to you. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Jim Blassingame, small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Al Siebert, S-I-E-B-E-R-T, if you're Googling him or looking for his book, wherever books are sold, The Resiliency Advantage, Master Change, Thrive Under Pressure, and Bounce Back from Setbacks. Al, tell us where your book's available, please.
Well, it's in most stores, and of course online at the bookstores or through my website, which is resiliencycenter.com.
ResiliencyCenter.com.
Check
it out. Can they read a little bit about the book there on the website?
Yes, we have the first chapter is posted there where they track down where the book is. Also, people can take the quiz on how resilient are you.
All right.
That is chapter 2 in the book.
And so they can take that on your website?
Yes.
Okay, good. I appreciate you making that available. Folks, check that out. In fact, you know, what would be wrong, Al, with sending a prospective employee to your site to get them to take that test?
Partly what would be wrong would be that this is not a validated test for screening for employment.
Ah.
And so technically it could be a reason for an employee protesting. However,
we don't like protests.
Yeah, but as I open up chapter two, I give the example of a CPA who built a very, very strong business because she took my information, and if someone came to her to do their CPA work, a business, let's say, for example, she would take the person out to lunch and or coffee and say, I want to get to know you. And she would interview them mentally, going through the whole list of all the qualities of what it takes to be highly resilient. As a result of this, which was just a personal...
They didn't realize they were taking a test, did they?
They didn't know that. And so as a result, at the end, she would just say to probably two out of three, you know, I just don't think we've got a good match up here.
Those sneaky CPAs.
Of pleasant excuse. And as a consequence, she only took people who are highly resilient. As a consequence, she had rarely had a client that went bankrupt or had problems.
Wow.
Her clients are by far more successful than average.
Those sneaky CPAs, you got to watch those guys.
Well, actually,
it's the quiet ones you got to watch.
CPA, you know? I thought, you know.
It's the quiet ones you got to watch. Al, you know, when I think of resiliency, I think of small business owners, I think of entrepreneurs, people who are out there, and there is no place in the marketplace where you'll find more resiliency than in small business. But
yes,
the whole marketplace, the entire marketplace, the global marketplace has had to shore up its resiliency over the last, really, if you think about it, Al, you and I, you got almost as much gray hair as I have. You and I have seen this coming a long time. If you really think about it, it's been going on really for about 20, 25 years.
Maybe even
30 years.
The consequence has been that people are being pressured to become more and more resilient, which is what I try to tell people, that you're born with the ability to be highly resilient. A lot of people just didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the first thing that we said, is that quantifying your resiliency,
yes,
is very important. And I really am glad that you said that to us, Al. And do you is it important for us to partition our resiliency? Is it possible that I might be mentally resilient, but not physically resilient? I could work on that, or vice versa.
Well, yes, that can happen. We have all kinds of circumstances, and a person can be more resilient in one situation than in another. So, yes, that's
well, the reason I say that is I've been on these marathon projects, and I remember one project a long time ago, and it required us to work through the night, literally to work through the night. I had to get on a plane the next day at 7 o'clock. And so me and a team and I worked on this. We had some people that couldn't make it. They couldn't make it all night. They literally left the project that was so critical to this company and went home and went to bed. And me and a couple of other people worked through the night, and then I got on a plane and took it to where it needed to go the next day. And I remember thinking, you know what? I wouldn't want to. I'd hate to think that I couldn't handle that.
Yes, okay. Now what you're pointing out then is the value of what I call level one resiliency, and that is to, on an ongoing basis, take care of your physical health, your emotional strength, your spiritual well-being, so you have a deep reserve that you can call on. And we're talking about physical health as well, so
right,
that when you need to do some kind of marathon work or whatever, you can tap into that. You see, you probably would have had some people in that team that were already stretched out almost to their limit from their work and their challenges at home or whatever,
right,
weren't taking that good of care of themselves, and once you put an extra load on them, that you've surpassed or crossed over what they can handle.
I've got about 30 seconds, Al. Can resiliency help us rise above the instinct to quit?
Oh, yes. And part of what the plan is, though, as I discuss in my book, is that you take short pauses, little breaks, to take a deep breath, reconstitute. Be sure you keep up your sense of humor, so your humor and playing and so forth will keep your energies up.
Give us your website again, Al.
ResiliencyCenter.com.
Say it again.
ResiliencyCenter.com.
ResiliencyCenter.com. The book is called The Resiliency Advantage, available wherever books are sold. Hey, Al, thanks for being here. Dr. Al Siebert, ladies and gentlemen, we'll get him back again real soon. Quick break. Right back with Stephanie Weston. Stay with me.
On the roof is peaceful as can be.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.